This is the RaidersBlog.com podcast. I am your host, Taylor Armesino. Joining me on the Skype line, as always, is AFC West lead writer for Bleacher Report and owner of RaidersBlog, Chris Hansen. We are coming to you after a Sunday win. The Raiders beat Pittsburgh at home yesterday 21-18, and which started off as a really good game for the Raiders and ended in a little nerve-wracking fashion, but ultimately the Raiders were able to hold on and get the win. We are going to talk about the game, and then we're going to give a little midseason report. The Raiders now 3-4. That's about as close to midseason as you're going to get. So let's talk about the game. Chris, obviously it was a good first half of the Raiders. I mean, the first play of the game, they got a 93-yard touchdown from Pryor. The defense played really well. They were up 21-3 at halftime. I was really impressed at halftime. And then the second half, the offense was pretty flat. The defense continued to play well, but they were just on the field for so long that eventually Pittsburgh was able to break through and get some points. But ultimately, I thought it was a good win all around for the Raiders.
Yeah, I think it was a good win. I think there's some reason for concern with the way that the second half went down. But overall, I think it was a good win for them. I think they started off and, you know, they played it a little safe. They got a little conservative there, and they've done that. They've shown that that's kind of who they are. They're going to get a little conservative at times, especially when they get a lead. You know, that's kind of their thing. So, and that's part of, you know, not necessarily fully trusting Terrell Pryor. And I think that's wise based on what we've seen from him so far. You know, so I think overall, you're right. Good, solid win. And, you know, at least from the looks of it, you know, there's some definite positives from it. And then from the looks of it, you know, the schedule going forward, next three games, certainly Raiders could be really competitive in those games, if not get a couple of wins. So, you know, overall, Raiders have to feel good about this. Three wins already. Some people didn't think the Raiders would get three wins all season. So, you know, at a halfway point, that's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh is not a good football team, and that's okay. I mean, you know, the Raiders, it's a step in the right direction for them to be beating these kind of teams. It's a game they should have won. I believe they were favored to win. Actually, they might have not been. I think they were dogs again. I think they were three-point dogs. Is that
they
right?
They were three-point home dogs, yep.
Yeah, and you were telling me before the show they were dogs, home dogs again this week against Philadelphia, which is very weird given Philadelphia's horrible quarterback situation with all the injuries they've had.
Yeah, I think 2.5 points is what I saw just a minute ago. So, I mean, Vegas, I mean, obviously, it's just a betting line. But yeah, it seems interesting that they would do that, considering the Raiders have been really good at home. First of all, they've been really good at home. And, you know, with Philadelphia's quarterbacks, it might end up being Matt Barkley. And, you know, Jason Tarver, I think, has some experience against scheming against Matt Barkley, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, but that I'm guessing that line might shift just because I think the Raiders, especially with the way the defense is playing and Philadelphia's spec defense, I think overall you could definitely see some movement there on that line. So I guess what I'm saying is if you're a betting kind of person, I'm not condoning any kind of betting or giving you any advice, but if you were a betting kind of person, now might be the time.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to bet that this week in my betting lines league. But anyways, let's talk about the game. You know, one thing, we're going to talk about the defense a lot today because they've been very good and they're worth talking about. Offensively, one thing I thought, you know, I thought Darren McFadden looked pretty good. I mean, his hamstring didn't seem to bother him. He actually showed a little more burst than in the Kansas City game. I thought he looked good, especially in the first half.
Yeah, I thought he looked okay. You know, I still think he's a guy that he needs good blocking.
Yeah. That's a given at this point, I feel like. We have so much evidence to show that he doesn't create, you know, he's always going to be, a downhill runner that doesn't make a lot of people miss.
I thought his burst looked good, and when he was getting holes, obviously that athleticism takes over. You know, obviously in the second half, I think they closed those holes, and you saw that it's kind of what happened. He wasn't able to create any yards for himself at that point. But overall, I thought he looked as healthy as I've seen him, with as much burst as I've seen him, you know, since the beginning of this season, you know, a couple seasons, you know, maybe, you know, it's tough. It's a little bit tough to tell with him sometimes, but I definitely thought he ran well, especially in the first half, as you mentioned. And, overall, you know, the Raiders in the first half, they looked fine offensively. And then the second half, it just, It just didn't look good at all. So, you know, I don't know how you really want to. A lot of people like to point to coaching when something like that happens. You could point to playing the situation and execution, and there's a lot of different things you can point at there. I'll say this though: the 93-yard touchdown was great scheming by Greg Olsen.
Yeah, and really poor defense by Pittsburgh. I mean, nobody even had an eye on Pryor. I mean, it looks like Woodley was probably the guy who was assigned to Pryor, and he went chasing the running back to the other side of the field. I mean, it was good scheming up by Olsen, but also really poor defense from Pittsburgh.
Well, you know what happened there is the Raiders pulled the guard.
Yeah.
Normally on a read option, you run zone blocking,
mm-hmm.
and the Raiders pulled Mike Brazel, and that was a tip-off, a key for the Steelers that it wasn't going to be a read. But they were totally thrown off by it. So that's why I said it was great scheming by the Raiders, because they went outside of what they normally do and totally caught Pittsburgh off guard. And then, you know, Pryor is showing, you know, you give him an inch and he'll take a mile. And once he... You know, once he broke through that first line and there was no safety there, there was no way he was going to get caught.
He is so fast. It's unbelievable. I mean, I know.
And the Steelers don't have a fast defense either.
No. He was out running those. You know, I'm trying to think back. It might have been the 49ers a few weeks back. A lot of these teams that have run some of the zone read stuff in the past are actually using guards in interesting ways with the zone read now. I think I was watching a 49er game a few weeks back, and they were pulling guards the direction that the quarterback was running. Which I thought was interesting. And so it's kind of, you know, it's good to see the Raiders being creative. And I don't know if maybe they looked around the league and saw a couple other teams doing it. But it's interesting to see if these, you know, how these zone read teams kind of adjust their zone read, you know, to the defenses.
Oh, I'm sure that Greg Olsen's borrowed some concepts for sure.
Yeah.
But I think the Raiders haven't shown those. They haven't overly relied on the read option. And so that when they want to dial it up and when they have something like that where they feel like, hey, the Steelers are going to key on McFadden, and they're also going to be looking. They're not going to know that this is coming because we haven't shown this before. You know, when they did that and they did their study and they're like, you know, this is a good. It's going to be a good play for us, and they did. So, you know, I think the Steelers still adjusted. I think Pryor didn't really have much on the ground after that. But you know, sometimes all it takes is the big plays and. The Raiders are kind of a big play offense right now. I mean, that's kind of who they are. They're not really a stay on schedule, to borrow a coaching term, offense. They're more of an explosive offense, and they're kind of the. If you wanted to compare them to a division rival, the Chiefs are like the stay on schedule but can't make a big play to save their life offense, and the Raiders are the exact opposite. So, and they both. You know, the Chiefs are having amazing defense, and the Raiders are playing good defense. And so they're a little bit similar teams. You know, I know the Raiders won't like being compared to that way, but they're winning in similar ways when they do win. When the Raiders do win, you know, I think the difference is obviously is that, you know, the Chiefs' offense is closer to average than it is below average, and the defense is elite as opposed to just, you know, good. But I think... Overall, you have to look at the Raiders and say, wow, this is a big midseason review. I mean, this defense has been, the last 4 weeks, this defense has been unrecognizable from last year. I mean, it's been totally different than last year. And they're playing really, really well.
Yeah, and you know, you gave me these stats before here, and we'll talk about them. I'm giving you credit, so I'm not stealing your stats. This year, Raiders 13th in the league right now in points per game. Last year, they were 28th. Obviously, that's a huge jump. This year, 13th in yards per play. Last year, they were 23rd. So, again, that's another big jump. Last year, they had a 4.5% sack rate on defense, which is horrible as bottom three. This year, they're 12th in the league. So, again, they may not be up, you know, Kansas City level elite yet. But, I mean, this is definitely an improved defense. And you and I both, coming into the year, thought it could be that. I mean, they signed a lot of guys that Pro Football Focus has rated out as, you know, at least serviceable to, you know, slightly above average kind of guys. We thought, you know, there's no real big superstars or playmakers on this defense, but they could absolutely play better. And, you know, Tarver would be given more pieces to play with, and he's done a really good job.
Yeah, he has. And, you know, I mean, if you look at, if you want to know the difference, I mean, it's a 6.3 points per game difference. So basically a touchdown per game difference that the defense isn't allowing. And keep in mind that those per game stats this year, and last year too, but they include pick sixes. You know, they include the offense giving up those points. And the Raiders had one of those. Pryor had one, and Matt Flynn had one, so that's at least 14 points that you could take off of that. So really the defense has performed better than that. I know when coaches look at and evaluate their defense and say, how many points did the defense give up? They're not counting those pick sixes. So, you know, it's been a really impressive, and you know, they've done it with, you know, I would say if you look at it, it's really been, it's not just 10 new defensive starters. It's basically 11 players playing, 10 new to the team, one playing in a new position, and they've done it with those guys. And so that's, you know, borderline amazing, really.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's been a total overhaul. They've gotten some really good performances out of a lot of guys. I mean, the secondary has really played well the last couple weeks, I've thought. Even this week, you know, you mentioned it on Twitter, Hayden. You know, we didn't notice Hayden getting, you know, beaten down the field or giving up a lot of open passes. I rewatched the game, and I think I counted 3 catches he gave up, but none of them were very long. I think there's only like 5 or 6 yards in each one. He was targeted one on the end zone. I think it was before Sweezum's first missed kick, when Roethlisberger kind of threw it away. That was Hayden's coverage. So, I mean, I'm just kind of ballparking it, but I think he was probably targeted like 4 or 5, maybe 6 times, and he gave up
five times. He gave up 4 short, really short catches.
Right.
You know, he couldn't have given up more than 30 yards in those 4 catches.
No, and one of those smoke screen kind of things, like a little bubble screen kind of thing. And so it wasn't like he even got beat on a route. It's just the guy caught the ball and got a 2-yard gain.
I think one of them was a slant too, where he was in zone, so he had passed that guy off, and then the guy caught it. And he ended up coming over and making the tackle. So that's not necessary. I mean, yeah, it counts against him, but as far as the coaches go, they're like, well, okay, you know, push him inside further so that way our zone can get there. But overall, they're not going to say, well, that was Hayden's coverage. You know, not like he blew an assignment or had bad coverage necessarily.
Right. The point being is that he had a pretty good game.
Yeah, he did. He did have a pretty good game. And he wasn't challenged too much, but he did have a good game. But you know who really had a good game was Mike Jenkins.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's had a fantastic season as well.
No, he has.
You know, him and Tracy Porter, you know, Jenkins I thought was playing well coming into the season. You know, in preseason I thought he played well, and I thought, you know, when I'd seen him in practice, I thought he played really well. Tracy Porter, you know, I was really on the fence about him, but I've been really surprised at how he's played as well. And I think both those guys played exceptionally well yesterday. You know, I don't know what the stats are necessarily, but I think Jenkins only gave up maybe a couple. I know he was targeted a bunch, but I think he only gave up like, you know, a couple catches.
And he had the interception.
And he had the interception. I know he knocked another ball away. And so, you know, that's a great game from him. And then I know Porter knocked at least one ball away as well. And he had the interception, one off the, you know, picked it up off basically the ground. And he may have allowed a few more receptions, but none of the cornerbacks allowed big yardage through the air at all.
I think that was also by scheme a little bit. I mean, I don't know if you noticed it, but the Raiders, a lot of the time, it looked like they were playing their safeties really, really deep. And obviously, the coach's film hasn't been out yet. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure when you go back and look at it, you'll notice, I mean, their game plan was to keep Pittsburgh, you know, trying to dink and dunk their way down the field. And, you know, make them beat them that way, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, it was an interesting scheme, because last week they attacked, sent a lot of blitzes at Kansas City before the bye. I'm sorry, not last week, but they blitzed Alex Smith a ton. They performed well against the Chiefs. It's just their offense didn't. But you know, they blitzed a ton. And yesterday, you know, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how much they actually blitzed yesterday, but I didn't notice it being as much as it was against the Chiefs. So I'm guessing that they didn't send those defensive backs nearly as much as they did against the Chiefs. maybe a handful of times. They sent a defensive back. So you're right. I think they kept those safeties back. I think what they were thinking was they can get pressure with four against that offensive line. Big Ben will try to extend the play, and they'll have extra guys in coverage. And sure enough, it paid off. And I think the Raiders have been really good. Tarver and Dennis Allen done a great job of scheming for their opponents, their offensive opponents, and that has been a big factor in the defense's improvement. And they've kind of proven that they can do several different things now. You know, just about everybody's performing on defense. There's not a guy that you can say, man, that guy's just been a total liability. On offense, you can certainly say that, but you can't say that on defense.
Yeah, and even from the defensive line, which we thought, and probably still is, the weak spot of the defense, especially the pass rushing part. But even on Sunday, they got a lot of good pass rush production. I mean, I think Stacy McGee, he might have had a sack. I know he had at least, I think he had two tackles for loss. Daniel Mir had a sack, and then he had a really clever dance afterwards that there were mixed reviews on, but I enjoyed it. And obviously, Amar Houston's been a beast. And so they've even gotten really good defensive line play, or not really good, but I mean, they've gotten better than expected defensive line play. And it was kind of thought that the back seven would be really solid and that front four would be a liability. But I mean, the last 2 weeks, and I know the offensive lines they're going against haven't been great, but that hasn't really been the case. I mean, the front four's been pretty good as well.
Yeah, I mean, we knew they'd be able to stop the run. I mean, I think that we thought that with Hunter and Houston and Walker and Sims. I think we always thought they'd be able to stop the run. It was a question, can they get pressure? And then they've proven that the last couple weeks. And, you know, to go on with the defensive line and kind of a tangent is, I mean, obviously, C.O. Moore is used as a pass rusher a lot as a fifth rusher. And he really did well. He had two sacks. He's really been coming on.
I believe it was the second play of the game he had a tackle on Heath Miller. It was a great tackle, stopped him for like 2 yards. I mean, Moore had a really good game. I mean, if you go through this game, I mean, you could probably point out six or seven guys that really had great games. I mean, I think the defense as a whole played great. I mean, we talked about this before. I mean, they gave up 18 points, but if you look at how much they were on the field, especially in the second half, I feel like that was more of a product of the just, I mean, eventually, if you give the offense so many possessions, I mean, they're probably going to score a few times. It was more, you know, that than the defense really springing a bunch of leaks, you know. I mean, I thought they were on the field so much in that second half. I mean, the Raiders had 35 yards of offense, which is kind of unbelievable. I thought they played a lot better than, you know, if you were just to look at 18 points, you know, I thought they played a lot better than that.
Yeah, you look at all the guys that played well. Lamar Houston played well. Jenkins played well. C.O. Moore played well. Vance Walker played well. Tracy Porter played well. Stacy McGee, he didn't have that many snaps, but when he did get in there, he played well. Kevin Burnett, I think, had another good game. You know, we saw that Daniel Muir kid, he flashed. I think D.J. Hayden wasn't noticed, didn't make any big impact plays, but sometimes that's what the best corners do. They just go about their business and they play well. You know, all those guys played well. You know, I think Nick Roach has been a stabilizing force. He may not be flashy or make a lot of big plays, but I think he's been, a solid guy in the middle of that defense, and that's what they needed. And, you know, really good game from them. At midseason, the defense has really impressed me the last few weeks. Overall, I think they've got a chance here in the next three games with some offenses that are struggling or have backup quarterbacks or all of the above. I think they've got a chance to win these next three games, and they get, you know, next week at home versus Philadelphia on Sunday. Philadelphia with the potential backup quarterback. Well, it's going to be a back one way or the other. It's just a matter of if it's Nick Foles or Matt Barkley. And if it's Matt Barkley, I think the record for rookie quarterbacks in their first road start, I think there's only been like four wins ever. I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's horrible. Rookie quarterbacks in their first start on the road just don't fare well.
Yeah, and even last week at home, I mean, they lost 15-7 to the Giants, who obviously aren't good, especially on defense. And then the only seven they scored was on a punt block, or a blocked punt. And so, really, the Eagles' offense didn't score any points against a really lousy Giants defense. And if it's Barkley and they're coming to Oakland and we've been gushing about how good this defense has been, I mean, you have to think advantage Raiders.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you have to think that. And, you know, and Philadelphia's defense has also been terrible.
Yeah.
And the Steelers, I mean, the Steelers are not they're not a great team right now, but I would say that their defense is the least of their worries. You know, their offense is just not producing. And you know, the Raiders shut them down, and you have to credit the Raiders' defense, but, you know, the Steelers are just a disaster. They're slow on defense, but they're still a good veteran defense. They still have Lamar Woodley, Brett Kiesel, they have Polamalu. I mean, they've got some good players there. I mean, it's not Philadelphia's defense. In other words, I think the Raiders will be able to do a little bit more against Philadelphia's defense than they were able to do against Pittsburgh's defense. So,
yeah. In the second half of that game, sorry to interrupt, but just coming out of halftime, because right before we did this, I went and rewatched the game. And actually, you know, watching the game live the first time, I kind of got the impression that they went really, really, really conservative. The play calling in the second, like the first two or three drives coming out of the second half, wasn't really that different than what they did in the first half. It's just I thought Pittsburgh played really good on defense. I mean, I think I have to give Pittsburgh a little more credit than I did before. And so that was one thing I noticed that wasn't, you know, the Raiders obviously didn't play well on offense and there were errors, but I mean, I thought Pittsburgh stepped up their defense in the second half.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they stepped up their defense and the Raiders didn't execute and all that. But, you know, I kind of wanted to talk about we have some other things that we wanted to talk about too. That kind of happened during the game, which was one of the things that happened was Tarver's bird flip. And I want to touch on this briefly. I mean, guy got caught up in the heat of the moment.
Be fair, it was a horrible call.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I think the whole cursing at the refs or in the general direction of or about a call, I think that happens a lot.
Yeah.
The only difference is Tarver's a really expressive guy, and he got caught by the cameras flipping the bird. And you know, actually the gesture.
I think it was twice, actually. Might have been twice.
It was twice, right back to back, and he said it, and he flipped it at the same time. But he was just, you know, as opposed to just, like, pointing or pumping his fist and saying it, he happened to throw the bird out there because he's an expressive guy. He got caught up in the heat of the moment. Raiders are going to handle the discipline internally. He'll probably get fined. I think this is one of those situations. It's a little bit, you know, I think you'll send an apology note probably to the league office for the officials. You know, overall, I think it won't be a big deal. I do credit the officials for changing the call anyway, even though they were getting cursed at. I don't think they heard it. Otherwise, he probably would have gotten a personal foul. Penalty, but you know, overall, like I said, I think it happened more than you think. He just got caught, and he was actually flipping the bird, as opposed to just saying it and throwing his fist and you know, whatever. But not that big of a deal. But you did bring up before the show that I think is more important than the Tarver bird flip. That really, I don't think is a big deal beyond, you know, the Raiders are going to fine him or whatever. But was all the drops on offense. One of the reasons they didn't do well offensively was all the drops. I know that was something you noticed. What'd you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because Andre Holmes came back, and he played, I believe, I should have written the numbers down, I believe he played 13 snaps as opposed to Butler's 8 and Ford's 9, and obviously Ford had the fumble. In the second half, and Butler had two drops, one of which led to an interception and one of which was on third down. So obviously those were big drops in the game, even though they were in the first half. I mean, the Raiders could have been up, you know, 28, you know, maybe 24 points at halftime if he's not dropping those balls. It'll be really, and you know, they actually targeted Holmes, if you remember, in the first half on the one deep ball. I believe it was the second quarter, and Pryor got hit as he threw and he overthrew it. But, you know, coming off this game, I mean, I understand that it's one game and, you know, it's really only it's a pretty small sample size. I mean, I think Butler only played 8 snaps, but I mean, 2 drops and 8 snaps and one leading to an interception, you know, given how much they like Holmes and obviously they're going deep to him, they think he's got some explosiveness. you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Holmes get the majority of the snaps next week over both Ford and Butler.
Yeah, I think Ford, I think, you know, they're trying to, you know, they recognize that he's got some speed and some quickness and that they'd like to use that. But I think they're also realizing that, you know what, he's a bit of a liability. We saw his ball security issues on the punt return and then the fumble. That was a disastrous fumble.
No, it really was. It was terrible.
Because the game isn't even as close as it ended up being without that fumble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bryce Butler's fumble or drop was obviously big because it was picked off. You know, not Pryor's fault at all. But
even though Sweezy missed the 30-yarder, which was pretty hilarious, that was still a, you know, what, a 3-point swing at least, because the Raiders were, you know, they had a short field. I mean, Mesko only punted to the 46, and I think they had over a minute left. And then, you know, obviously with Janikowski, I mean, that's, you're almost in field goal range then. I mean, the Raiders could have been up 24-3 at halftime. I mean, the game would have been, and I mean, obviously Pittsburgh missed the field goals too, but I mean, that was not, you know, he dropped the ball in the first quarter, got intercepted, and then Pittsburgh went 3 and out. I mean, you know, that was an opportunity for the Raiders to get points right before the half. And I'm not a big momentum guy, but I mean, if you believe in it, you would think that that'd be added momentum going into halftime. I mean, that was a big drop in the game.
Yep. And, you know, here's the thing. With a guy like Bryce Butler, you're like, okay, it's a rookie. He's a rookie. You know, you're going to have some of those. A rookie's going to have some of those types of issues. You know, they're going to have some drops like here and there. Jacoby Ford's a veteran.
Yeah.
His is not excusable to me. He also, and the other thing is, it wasn't just one. He had the muff punt as well.
Yeah,
and he just got, the Raiders just got lucky on that one.
Well, actually, that was two, because he fumbled on one of the punts as well, and that got, luckily the ball rolled out of bounds, but that could have been two punt turnovers that he committed, as well as the one on offense. I mean, it's unheard of. You don't hear guys committing three turnovers in a game.
Yeah, his contract's up at the end of the year. I cannot envision a scenario where Jacoby Ford returns to the Raiders.
No.
I think they liked some of his, you know, his speed, and they thought, well, we don't have a ton of that necessarily. We need more explosive players on offense. But, you know, if you look at, he got eight snaps last week against Pittsburgh, and that's down. And the Raiders did this after the bye week last week, and it's not a coincidence. He got 9 snaps to open up the season. Then he was in the teens, low 20s for the next 5 games. And then last week he only gets 8 snaps. I don't think that's an accident.
No.
You know, the Raiders evaluated their needs and decided, you know what, Jacoby, we don't need your services as much anymore. And yeah, they gave some of those to Andre Holmes because, obviously, the ball security issues. I think they've liked what they saw from him in training camp. And him and Bryce Butler, I think they wanted to get more opportunities. Butler, I think, also saw his snaps reduced. And I think that's a product of Andre Holmes being back. You know, but overall, I think with Andre Holmes and Butler, these are young guys. Ford, it's not an excuse. I don't see him being any way he's back next year.
I mean, he's not even giving them anything in the return game. And it's like, if you're not going to do that, what value do you bring? No, I agree with you. And he shouldn't be back.
Yeah, well, quite frankly, too, I mean, if you look at, you know, how important is it to have a great kick return guy now? I mean, that's what his claim to fame was, but then they moved the kick, you know, they moved the kicker, and now that you get so many touchbacks that, you know, I mean, there's still a handful of guys that have returned them this year, but, I mean, overall, you know, the punt returner is the guy that you really want, a good punt returner, and that's not Ford, so... you know, the Raiders tried to mix things up after the bye. You know, Taiwan, I don't think Taiwan did particularly well.
No.
He's had trouble holding on to the kickoffs. Ford had trouble holding on. I know they wanted to get more explosiveness there to help the offense, but sometimes it's just better to have a guy that can catch the ball there. And you know, going back to the offense, just to kind of do a mid-season review, offensive line still a problem. I thought Matt McCants did relatively well at right tackle against Lamar Woodley. I didn't think he was a great run blocker, but I think as a pass blocker he did fine. And Brizell's continued to be solid, and Barnes, for the most part, exception being the game against Tamba Hali, I think he's done well. Wisniewski was back, and I think that made a huge difference for everybody. You know, Lucas Nix, I'm not going to beat a dead horse to death, but Lucas Nix has continued to be awful.
Yeah.
I cannot envision a situation where he stays on the field much longer. I don't know how the Raiders could justify it. I think once, if Watt's supposed to practice this week, and Bell here is supposed to get back, you know, on the field sooner rather than later, I gotta think that somehow, some way, Nix gets benched after this. If you get Pashos back and you get Watson back, I can't envision a situation where somebody's not playing guard, Barnes or probably Barnes would be the best candidate, but I can't envision a situation where that doesn't happen because he's been terrible. But I don't want to beat a dead horse too much, but he's been a big factor in the Raiders' offensive line problems because he's been, you know, everybody else, they've had their moments, but he's been consistently poor.
I believe it was a play in the second half. I think it was on their second drive where he got obliterated. I don't remember exactly who he was blocking, but I mean, I think his guy tackled Pryor or one of the running backs for like a 2 or 3 yard loss, just totally screwed up the drive. I mean, it was just another really bad play on his part, but I mean, that was again another kind of big play in the game. In the second half, as they're trying to get a drive going, and he gives up a 4 yard loss.
Yeah, he's a guy that the Raiders definitely are going to want to. They're going to want to address that position. I know they had high hopes for him, and they might be stubborn, but they really shouldn't be because he's been. It's been apparent to just about anybody who watches that film how bad he's been. I'm surprised, quite frankly, that they haven't even given somebody else a shot. Even with all the injuries, they haven't given somebody a shot there because he's been that bad. But the offense. You know, midseason, I mean, the offense has been, you know, I think Pryor's been better than anybody expected. McFadden's been a little bit of a disappointment, I would say, but he looked better last week. And, when you look at this team going forward, what's a realistic what do you think is a realistic expectation for this team? Because no one really expected 3 wins at this point.
No, it looks like they're probably a 6-10, 7-9 team, but I tweeted about it today. I mean, their schedule, we're not going to go through every game, but their schedule moving forward is not difficult. I mean, there are a lot of winnable games. That doesn't mean they're going to win every game, but they'd have to go 5-4 to get to the 8-8 mark by the end of the season. I think the way the defense is playing, and it's one of the encouraging things about the defense is they've gotten better. It's not like they started off really well and they're kind of tailing off. You know, they started off, poorer than now, obviously, and they're really, I hate using this, but they're garnering some momentum and they're playing a lot better every week. If the defense continues to ascend to maybe a top 10 level, the offense has to continue to create big plays, which, I mean, the last 3 weeks I have had, at least one long touchdown play each week. So, I mean, they're getting a little better at that. Hopefully the offensive line gets better. 7-9, 8-8, not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to go through necessarily previewing every game, but, I mean, you got next three, Eagles at home, very, very winnable with a potential backup quarterback. You get the Giants. Now, that's a 3,000-mile trek, okay? Those have not historically been nice to West Coast teams. But the Giants are not playing well. Eli Manning is not playing well.
No.
That defense is not what it has been. That is a winnable game, even though it's a road game. And if I'm not mistaken, Raiders have not won a road game yet. So that's going to be a big game for them.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah. They follow that up with the next three that we're talking about. They follow that up with a trip to Houston. Raiders have historically played pretty well in Houston.
Yeah.
Who knows what their quarterback situation is going to be there. I don't think the Texans are a particularly great team. No. All those games are winnable. And with 3 wins already, if you can win two out of those three, that's 5 wins. And then who knows what happens. I mean, If you look at the last half of their schedule, I'm not going to go dive any deeper, but if you look at Tennessee at home, Dallas on the road, Jets on the road, Chiefs at home, Chargers on the road, Denver at home final game.
Which it might be a meaningless game for Denver. I feel like it's probably not going to be at this point, but you never know. It could be.
It's possible. It's possible that it's a situation where they have a win or a loss to the same seed regardless.
Right.
You know what
I mean?
That's
what I'm saying, yeah.
Even though it won't necessarily be a game where, where they're, locked up a number one seed, but it might be a game where, they're definitely the two seed. There's nothing they can do about it or whatever.
Right.
A lot will change as far as that goes going forward. They do play on the road. They have five road games and I think four home games left. So more on the road than at home, and they have not won on the road yet. So that's a factor here. They need to get a road win if they're gonna get to that anywhere near that 7-9, 8-8 area. They need to get a road win. But I think the good thing is if you look at their schedule, is there the Chiefs? Their division games, which come 15, 16, 17, are the three teams with winning records, I believe. Does Tennessee have a winning record? I'm not sure. Maybe they do too.
Hold on. Let me look it up. But either way, those last three are the hardest games out of those. And San Diego's been good, but maybe they fall off a little bit too. I mean, I don't know.
Well, in San Diego, that's like a home game for the Raiders, and the Raiders already beat San Diego once.
Tennessee's 3-4, so same as the Raiders.
Yeah, I thought so. So, I'm looking at all these teams on the schedule, and just without going through every game, look at all these. They need to get a road win, but the Raiders, these are all games the Raiders should be competitive in until they play their own division. And then a division game, as I've always said, is sort of a toss-up,
And especially that Kansas City game at home. I mean, Kansas City is due for a little bit of a regression. I mean, a lot of the feeling, if you listen to people talk, is that they're kind of like a 6-2, maybe a 5-3 team that just they're 8-0 because they haven't, their schedule hasn't been super difficult. And I mean, you could see them maybe going a little bit of a skid here and come back down to earth. I mean, the Raiders at home, and we've talked about their defense. I mean, that's a game they should be in. And so that's possibly even when you might eke out a win at the end. But that's, Denver's, again, if Denver's playing for something, I think that's the only game I'd really say, well, there's no way they're winning that game. But the rest of them, they should at least be competitive. You're right.
I would think so. I mean, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be competitive in these games.
No.
All these games. And
especially with their defense. That's the big thing. It's not like they're going to be down 28-0 after the first quarter anymore. I mean.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, the Raiders have really been competitive in every game.
Yeah.
The worst loss was the Chiefs, and the defense really played quite well. The offense just didn't play well at all. But overall,
and they were tied at halftime in that game too. All things considered, so
yep. So overall, I think you have to look at this as a positive step in the right direction for the Raiders. I'm not going to say it's necessarily the best case scenario, but it's pretty close to it. The one thing I'll say is this. We're seven games through. Pryor has got these final nine games as kind of his audition. And we'll talk about Pryor a lot. It'll be an ongoing storyline, and we'll talk about Pryor.
This is easily the least we've talked about Pryor in any of these podcasts this season.
So we won't talk about him too much, but I'll say this. He's got nine games, and the Raiders, if they're going to win some of these games and they're going to be competitive and Pryor is going to go into next season as, unquestioned starter type status, he needs to progress. And as a passer, I'm not sure we've seen what we need to see from him yet. It's been good, steady progress. And then it seems like he's plateaued a little bit lately. And I don't know, maybe that's just my feeling on it, but that's what it feels like to me.
No, I kind of agree with you. I mean, it'll be interesting. The play calling hasn't. I mean, he had the one deep ball to Holmes, but they don't have him throwing the ball down the field as much. It's more a lot of dinking and dunking kind of stuff. And I mean, he's actually thrown a couple good slants the last couple of weeks, which is progress because that's a throw. I mean, I think we saw maybe it was the San Diego game, there was one that got undercut and he almost threw a pick there, and I think we've seen one or two other times where he's kind of throwing slants at people's feet. And so at least Sunday he delivered a couple really nice passes on the slant of Denarius Moore. Both times, you know, he had the one misfire on the deep ball. You know, given how much of a big play offense they are, I'm kind of, and maybe it was situational in this game that they didn't really need to do it, but it'll be interesting to see if they get down maybe next week or whatever, if they start throwing the ball, letting him throw the ball down the field and kind of letting him go a little bit. Because, I mean, obviously in this game, and you talked about it, it's kind of apparent to me they don't fully trust him to be secure with the ball. And, I mean, I guess he did have the one pretty bad pick in the first half. But, I mean, if he's going to be your franchise guy, you need to be able to trust him to go down the field a little bit more than they are.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think that we've mentioned is, you know, the Raiders, they turned the ball over a little too much last week for anybody to be comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders, they don't have an offense that can overcome
turnovers. No. Especially special teams turnovers. That just can't happen.
Yeah, it can't happen, and so that's going to be a big factor going forward. They need to clean that up. The defense needs to continue forcing turnovers and playing well. You know, I think they played really well the last 4 weeks. You know, and they have 2 wins. They're 2-4 in those games that they've played well. You know, and for the most part, I think they actually played pretty well in the opener too against the Colts. I don't think they played too bad. So. You know, they didn't force any turnovers in that game. I think that was their biggest problem. But overall, I don't think they played too bad. And they're really starting to kind of grasp the scheme. And overall, impressive. So, I don't know if there's anything else that we really need to talk about. I think we kind of touched on it. I'm excited to see, and I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, that Menelik Watson can come back this week. Yeah. I think he'd be a huge shot in the arm for the offensive line. No, I think they were. He was sort of a guy that they expected to start right away, and that hasn't happened. But now I think getting him back, it'll be a huge, you know, boost for them to have him for the running game, for the pass blocking, you know, all the way around to have him. And he's a rookie still, but I think they expected a lot from him, and getting him in there would be a big win for the Raiders, regardless of whether, you know, he's immediately successful or not.
Yeah, and if there's a quarterback you want, you know, that'll help you, that'll help a struggling offensive tackle, I mean, that's Pryor. I mean, there was probably 3 or 4 sacks on Sunday that he got out of just by, I mean, the guy's so damn athletic. Just, you know, I mean, there was one, I think he backpedaled away from Paul Amalu and is able to complete a pass for a first down. I mean, yeah, he is just so athletic. I, you know, even if Watson comes in and isn't great, I mean, you can't, you know, I don't see it really killing them unless, you know, Pryor really gets blindsided and fumbles one or two. But, I mean, given how, you know, I've been really surprised with how well Pryor does move in the pocket. And he has pretty good pocket awareness, I think. And so, yeah, even if Menelik struggles, I mean, given that they're going to kick somebody else inside, you know.
As long as it's not as bad as Nick's, I think it's a win.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, at least given it's a victory that they're going to get rid of Nick's, you know, and if Watson plays half decent on top of it, I mean, I think that's an upgrade.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think Stefan Wisniewski said something to the effect of, you know, we're in here trying to, like, on the read option, you know, because it could be a run play. They're blocking as hard as they can. He's like, we're in here blocking as hard as we can, and we're, you know, we're struggling, and we're doing all this. And next thing we know, we turn around, and Pryor's running an open field 20 yards down the field. And you know, it makes it – and it kind of makes you feel nice as an offensive lineman because, you know, we're trying hard to block for McFadden, but if we happen to have a play where we don't execute our block so well, you know, we know that he's there, you know, able to turn that into positive yardage. So,
yeah.
You know, it was an interesting comment, I thought, from him. But, yeah, you know.
Philadelphia I think we kind of went over that.
Yeah, we went over everything I think that we needed to talk about in this podcast. You know, some concern that the offense is plateauing and stalling, and second half was a little bit concerning that we didn't see that. Defense going in the opposite direction, playing really well, scheming for their opponent, doing a lot of different things. I think that's where we stand, kind of at the midway point. Maybe one of these days we'll have a podcast, kind of go player by player, what they've been good at and what they haven't been. But, you know, I don't know if that's something we're interested in doing. But overall, you know, I don't know how you Raider fan couldn't feel positive. I mean, yeah, it's not a winning season. Al Davis might not like it. But This has been a successful season so far. And with this upcoming schedule, and, you know, maybe Pryor develops a little bit more, and you never know. This Raiders team could certainly surprise. They've surprised people this far. I don't see any reason why they can't continue to surprise.
Yeah, I mean, at least this team's not boring.
No, they're not.
You know, when you have Pryor, I mean, it's almost like he's a must-watch, given, you know, he can go 93 yards any play. I mean, if it was Flynn right now and they were 3-4, even if they were 3-4 with Flynn, it's like, I feel like it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the same type of offense if it was Flynn. But, yeah, you know, I think the general consensus on even non-Raider fans and people that like to watch, just like to watch football, and, you know, a lot of different people, is Pryor's just fun to watch.
Yeah,
good, bad, ugly. You know, he does things that are just, some of them just can't be taught, and it's just crazy just to watch him play the game, because, you know what, I mean, sometimes you're just like, you know, he's one of those classics, no, yes, guys, because you're like, you know, I think on his interception, the first one, on Sunday, that was kind of the case. Like, he rolled out of the pocket, he didn't need to throw it into traffic, and you're like, don't throw that, and then he throws it, and you're like, oh. But half the time he does, and he completes the dang thing. So you're like, holy smokes, like, it's just so, he takes your emotions up and down, he makes big plays, he makes, you know, plays that makes you scratch your head a little bit, and that's Pryor. But, you know, hopefully for the Raiders, he can get better.
And, you know, I think, you know, for a fan base that hasn't had a decent quarterback since, you know, what, Gannon, maybe Jason Campbell, but he's not really good. It's exciting to have a young, athletic quarterback that can make big plays. I mean, it's just, you know, I feel like, you know, the tone of the mood of the fan base, I mean, it's just fun to have somebody you can root for that's like that. You know, I mean, Russell was such a flame out. I feel like people have these horror nightmares when it comes to these quarterbacks the Raiders have, and it's like, at least with Pryor, he's athletic, he's young, he's led them to some wins. I mean, at least you have something to root for there. And I mean, and he's interesting to watch. And so, I mean, I think that, given the history, I think the history of the Raider quarterbacks the last decade or so kind of feeds into this as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's certainly feeds into it. I think he's certainly been fun to watch. You know, here's my only concern with him, and we'll kind of finish on this one. Here's my concern with Pryor. If he doesn't progress further, are the Raiders stuck in sort of quarterback purgatory, which is, you know, it's a term that I think people have used, and you've got a quarterback that's solid. There's nothing wrong with them, and Pryor certainly can make some plays, and I think he can continue to progress, but he's not necessarily the guy.
It's like the Andy Dalton syndrome kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like the 15th, 16th best QB in the league. But is that good enough to win a championship? And that's like, it's not quite bad enough to get rid of him. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And I, as a passer, I don't think Pryor is that good, but I think his running game obviously elevates him to that level. But it makes you wonder, like, do you want to get stuck in a quarterback purgatory with a guy like Pryor, who, you know, is exciting. I mean, so it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Or, you know, do you want to try to, if you can, find that franchise guy? And so that's why I said, I think, one of our previous podcasts, at least right now, unless I see a more improvement from Pryor, I think right now, if and only if there's that undoubted franchise guy available when the Raiders pick, would I take a franchise quarterback. But if that guy's available, I don't think anybody can pass on him. I don't think anybody ever should pass on him, even if you have what you think is a good quarterback. If it's an elite quarterback, you take him. He's there. Most of the time, you only get that opportunity when you're drafting high. You know, it would be a rare if you're not drafting in the top, you know, three or four picks. And I don't think the Raiders are going to be up there.
Unless Pryor gets hurt or something.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like they're going to be in the running for Clowney either, which would be a guy that could really help them.
Yeah.
But overall, I think Raiders are in a good position for the future of this franchise. Reggie McKenzie's taking some heat. Dennis Allen's taking some heat. They have this team going in the right direction. They're a tough team to play. They're a well-prepared team. No one, I don't think any team, you ask any team on the Raiders' schedule so far, I don't think any team really likes, is going to want to play the Raiders.
No.
They don't, the defenses don't want to try to stop Pryor. He's a tough guy to stop. The offense is well, you know, prepared. The defense is full of veterans that, that know where they're supposed to be. The scheme is complicated and complex and confused the hell out of Alex Smith 2 weeks ago. and you know, that's all positive signs for the Raiders. And, you know, they have a ton of money to spend next year, too, and they have to spend it.
Yeah.
So that's
going to be interesting. Hopefully they don't spend it even on Jacoby Ford.
Yeah, it's not going to be on Jacoby Ford, but Vell here, I believe, will get a big extension. Lamar Houston will get a big extension. You know, some of these guys that I think have played well on one-year deals, Kevin Burnett, Mike Jenkins, Tracy Porter, could all get multi-year, at least a couple-year deals. You know, I don't think the Raiders are going to overpay, but they have the money that they have to spend, and these guys are coming off, you know, deserving seasons that they could dole out the money.
Yep.
So overall, you know, we're looking ahead a little bit, and we're talking about, you know, the Raiders beyond this year, because realistically, at 3 or 4, unless something really crazy happens, this isn't a playoff team. But overall, it's a good step in the right direction. And yeah, if the Raiders finish with 6 wins this year, I'd say 6 wins is an accomplishment. If they winners finish with 6, I think they can make the jump next year with good moves in the offseason. I definitely think that.
Yeah, I do too. I agree.
So, and you know what? Next year, you know, you don't know how things are going to develop within the division next year either. So,
no.
You know, I at least my impression now, after Manning is gone, he's got this year and next year, but after Manning gone, things are going to change a little bit. But Mike McCoy, who was also a coordinator in Denver with Dennis Allen and under John Fox, he's done a great job with the Chargers too.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Reid, I already knew that Andy Reid was, he has his issues, but he's a quality coach. AFC West could be a one hell of a division for years to come.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know which one of these divisions and which one of these teams in the AFC West are going to be that team that disappoints. You know, to be honest with you, I can't put my finger on which team it's going to be because they all look to be well-coached. I believe all of them have solid front offices. You know, I think the AFC West is setting itself up to be one of the toughest divisions going forward. You know, we're looking 5 years down the road here, one of the toughest divisions in football.
And well, so I mean, they could have 3 playoff teams this year. I mean, San Diego could get that 6th spot. I mean, they legitimately could have 3 playoff teams this year when nobody was expecting that.
I'm a little skeptical on their ability to do that.
Right, but I'm just saying, I mean, given where they are now, I mean, it's possible. And I mean, at the start of the year, nobody was saying the AFC West is the best division in football. I mean, not even close.
As a matter of fact, they were saying quite the opposite.
Yeah.
AFC West was the worst division in football.
Yeah.
Chiefs were coming off 2-14. Chargers had issues everywhere. Lack of talent. Raiders were the same. The Broncos were the only class of the division type deal. And now at this point, midway through, you're like, holy crap, the AFC West is, at least by record, I mean, and that's really the only way that we should really judge teams. I mean, to be honest with you, if you're boiling it all down, hey, the AFC West has been a hell of a good division.
No, it has been. I mean, did you imagine if you asked somebody before the year if they thought Denver would be in second place in what are we in week 9 now? I mean, no way.
No one would have expected that.
No. Anyways, we apologize for not having a podcast last week. We were supposed to have a guest and it didn't work out, and then none of the schedules matched up. And so, if you're wondering why we didn't have a podcast last week, that was why. So we apologize for that. But
it's my bad. I had my best intentions. I even had it scheduled and just some personal stuff came up, so I do apologize for that. I know, Taylor, you had some personal stuff come up, too, that made it difficult. So
just a busy week.
Yeah, it was a busy week. It ended up being a good thing. It helped the Raiders not having us jabbering on about their potential Steelers matchup. But I did think the Raiders were going to win that. I picked the Raiders to win that game, and they came through. So very good.
Yep, absolutely. Chris, I will talk to you next week, and hopefully we'll be talking about another win over another Pennsylvania team.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yep.
See you guys.